About it, but I didn't have it all. To start off with this, when you think that God cannot use you anymore, or you think you can't be used by God, and that you're nobody, right? We're all nobodies. But when you think about it, and you say, well, you know, God can't use me. Well, remember, try to remember the things. You know, this was a blessing to me. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Noah, he was a drunk, and God used him. How do you know he was a drunk? Well, what did he do when he got off the boat? He made wine, and he got drunk, right? So, obviously, he was doing that, and he knew how to do it before he got on the boat. So, he was a drunk. Abraham was too old. God used him, and Abraham, he was well beyond the age of having children, and God was able to use him. Isaac, he was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. God used him. Leah, well, she wasn't that good looking. And they had to use some trickery to get her married off. Joseph, he was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute, and yet God used her and spared her life and her family. And everybody's lives that got in that room when the Israelites came in and destroyed. Jeremiah and Timothy, they were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. How's that? I mean, the Bible says he was naked and he laid on his side, and it was amazing. Jonah ran from God. You can't run from God. He'll find you. And he found Jonah, and Jonah did what God wanted him to do, but it took some persuasion. He ended up in a fish's belly. And went down to the depths of hell, the Bible says. Now, that's amazing. Imagine what he was thinking 3 days and three nights down there. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times. And you're out. But God's found a way to keep them, right? We got this law in this country that says three strikes and you're out. Well, imagine if God had that rule. We'd all be in deep trouble. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus, well, I wonder how big he was. He was probably, you know, he was a midget. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. And God used a dead person. So when we get to heaven, we're not going to have any excuses, because God shows you he's able to use anybody. Anybody that's got a heart that's willing, that's for sure. And so next time you think that God can't use you for anything, think about that one, huh? For those. Anyway, so we're going to be in the book of 2 John today. And I didn't know, I know where I left off before I got in that accident. And I kind of got knocked out of the situation here. So I did something wrong, or I got to look at that as though I did something wrong. So, and I was in a backslidden condition, and the Lord kind of escalated that really, really fast. So anyway, that's a, you know, we have this thing in this country that says that you have the right to remain silent. Well, I'm going to remain silent on some things. And we'll, you know, let the Lord deal with me on that, those issues. And I'm glad that he does. We have a loving God, and thankfully, if we ever step out of line, he gets us, you know, he chastises those that he loves and tries to bring you back to the right and the straight and narrow. So we're going to be going through grace and mercy this morning, and we'll see what the Lord does. I don't know if we're going to get to mercy, but we're just going to read this. The Bible says in 2 John 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." And so here we have this salutation or greeting to the elect lady and her children. And he throws out, "Grace be with you." And I'm not going to go into all of the different verses of Scripture that talk about a Christian as an elect of God, because there are verses there that show that we're elect. Now, of course, this is probably pointed towards this Jew in the tribulation, the elect children, elect lady and her children, and you can aim at some of this at the body of Christ, but this elect is referenced to the tribulation Jews. But we're going to look at it as a maybe a spiritual sense or a truth sense. There's a lot of truth in here for a Christian, especially with this word grace. Grace can be defined as God's favor toward the unworthy or the undeserving. That's me, right? Grace is something that is part of God's character, and in God's grace, he is willing to forgive and bless abundantly, regardless of the fact that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be treated generously by God. And now when you look at the gospel, what the gospel of the good news, what are we trying to tell others about, right? The good news of God's grace. And because it's important for us to know what grace is. Now, to get a good understanding of what grace is, one must first understand who you were before you received the grace of God, right? Through Jesus Christ. Who were you? Without the grace of God, we're all sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we don't deserve anything. We deserve death. That's what the Bible says. Romans 3:23, if you look there, I mean, it's right there. We probably all know it by heart. Romans 3:23. It's, you know, it's amazing when you have a head injury. The stuff that you, I mean, it's very, very difficult to try and concentrate. I've just put that out there real quick. Romans 3:23, we've got a written word of God that we can go back to and learn, even when we have injuries or when we start to lose it up here. And I don't wish that upon anybody, because let me tell you, when that happens, it's very, very difficult on not only the person, but everybody around them. And thank God we have people that are understanding and have some empathy there. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so everybody, before they ever receive God's grace, you have to understand where you come from. You come from sin, come from Adam's race. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so without the grace of God bestowed upon us through his Son, there is no righteousness. There is no anything for you except the death penalty. And the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Now, if you go to Romans 3:10, the Bible says that there's none righteous. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so you don't have any righteousness, and without God's grace, you don't get anywhere. There's no hope for you, none, none at all, and no hope for me. I'm thankful for the gospel of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're told to believe. We're commanded to believe that. And that's your salvation, folks. The Word of God says. And what does Isaiah say? For who hath believed our report? So that's your salvation right there, is believing in the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What did he tell Abraham? He says, hey, do you believe that I can multiply your seed as the sands of the sea, as the stars of heaven? And what does Abraham say? Yes, and God counted it for him to righteousness. And when God says believe the gospel, when we're saved by the gospel, believe it. Because that's the truth. The Bible even goes further back, even to the point of the day that you were conceived, the Bible says. And you were conceived in sin. And so because of this sin nature that is inherited by Adam, sin, and everyone that comes on this earth, that is born and puts their feet and takes their breath in this earth, they start out on the same footing. And that footing is, for all have sinned. And it's assured that we're all going to die one day. So we're on equal footing there too. You not only did you get born and you were a sinner, but you're going to die. But you don't have to die a sinner. You could die in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by belief in the gospel. And that's how you escape the wages of sin in the spiritual life. And that lasts forever. And you don't want to be playing with your soul on that issue. We all start on the same path, and that's the sinful one. And this sin in our lives is because we have sinned against the holy God and are enemies of God, according to Romans 8:7. Look, if you would, in Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so, before you receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have carnal minds, and that's enmity against God, and that's sin. And there is nothing good that we can do to justify ourselves between a holy God. We just sang, holy, holy, holy. If you're singing that, that's the Lord inside you singing that, because there's nothing about this flesh that wants anything to do with God. If you just give into it a little bit, you'll see. You'll be going right down the tubes. And that's just a little. So you got to keep on your guard there. But there's nothing good that we can do to justify ourselves before a holy God. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So then the law is a good thing, because it directs us to say, and it says to us, hey, you're a sinner. You need some help. You need some help, because there's nothing you're going to do to be able to get rid of that sin. You have to come to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now imagine, if you would, without the grace of God, toward the unclean, toward the unrighteous, the defiled, sinners, in which at one point, if you're saved here today, you were in that classification. But if you're saved, you're not there anymore. You're in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But imagine if you were classified that, where would you go and what would be your end? I don't know if anybody's ever sat down and thought about that and just gave it a thought. But it's horrifying if you ever think about it. And I'm not saying to do that, because we're just to think on things of things pure and things right. But what? Think about the unsaved people for a second. Kind of have some, you know, thoughts about what their end is going to be. And if you don't ever think about that, I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to say, you look at what happened in COVID here, and you're going to see a crumb, a morsel of crumb that's fallen from the table of what's going to happen to somebody without Jesus Christ, if they die without Jesus Christ. I mean, you can analyze the different symptoms and side effects from catching COVID. Some people lost their taste. Some people lost their smell. If you lose your smell, you ain't going to taste anything, right? Some people, it affected them mentally. Some people, it affected their breathing, where they couldn't breathe. Look at what happened in the hospitals. The loneliness of some of these people that were put in the hospitals and on a breathing apparatus. And nobody could come in and see them. Imagine the loneliness there. And so we're just seeing a tiny morsel of what is going to be the end of somebody that dies without Jesus Christ. So you die without Jesus Christ, you're probably going to hear a sound. I would venture to say you're going to hear a sound of justice. A sound of God's power. I don't think you're going to see God, but I think you're going to hear him. Everything in this world puts off a frequency. Everything. Even down to your cell, down to the angstrom size, puts off a frequency. And that frequency can be picked up. Especially, it can be picked up by your brain. I mean, if you bring a piece of dust down to an angstrom size, it's called an organic mineral. And organic minerals seem to have life to them. But it's not that they have life. It's that they're moving because of an electric charge. And these electric charges put off frequencies. And when you ingest those things, your brain picks up on those frequencies and says, oh, I need that mineral. Oh, I need it over here. I need it over here. I need it over here. And so on. So I think you're going to hear a sound. And to the saved people, they're going to hear the same sound. But to them, I think it's going to be, and they're going to actually see the different things as a sinless being. Because we're going to be like Christ one day if you're saved and sinless. And so you'll be able to see things and hear things that are holy, holy, holy. But to the unsaved person, if you hear those sounds, it'll drive you mad. It'll drive you mad, because you're going to know that you missed out. If you ever hear those sounds of a holy God, like, I don't know, Pastor has some things on his YouTube channel where it's just like a hum. And imagine that hum just constantly. The power of God just humming in your soul, through your entire soul. that would drive you mad. You know, you missed it. You're done. There's nothing else you can do. And then, you know, you think about, you know, we get hungry here, but you've never felt hunger if you've never going to eat again. Never. That's a hunger that, hey, you'd rather be hungering and thirsting after righteousness because you're going to be filled. But if you hunger and thirst after the things of this world and you don't seek Jesus Christ, as an unsaved person, you're going to be hungry for the rest of eternity. And that's not including the thirsting. You ever been thirsty? I've been thirsty during COVID. I don't know if it was COVID or if it was the Lord saying, hey, look at this. Thirsty, so thirsty. I was so thirsty. I was at my mom's, my mom and dad. They had to give me something to eat because I couldn't feed myself. They were feeding me. My dad made this nice turkey dinner. And I was like, you got to eat something. You got to rest. And pastor said the same thing. You got to eat something. You got to rest. It was like a spiritual battle I went through that was unbelievable. But I was hungry, I was tired, and I was thirsty. And my mom gave me some stuffing. I love stuffing. And I was like, Mom, this stuff tastes like garbage crap. Literally, it just tasted horrible. So she found something that I could eat, was bean salad that I never ate before. I always thought that was horrible. And so the things that I liked weren't the things that I needed. But I was so thirsty, my dad says, I've never seen anybody drink this much water before in my entire life. I was drinking one bottle after another, cold, as fast as I could. And it was like there was no quenching the thirst. Now imagine your somebody's thirst never being able to be quenched forever in a hot and dry place where the sulfur is so bad that even if you could eat something, you wouldn't be able to taste the food. But imagine, now look at the people that were gasping at for their last breath during COVID. It affected their lungs. Now there's anxiety there when you can't breathe. Now imagine the anxiety in a place where you can't breathe because of the heat and the smoke and all that other stuff. Playing with fire, anybody that doesn't trust in Jesus Christ today. And literally playing with fire. And then you have the loneliness. But look at, before we look at the loneliness, look at all of the people that were tortured on this planet in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was tortured. So much so that his visage was marred that you couldn't even tell that he was a human being anymore. That's amazing. Only God could do that and stay alive through all that. Then you had Peter and all the apostles. They were all tortured to death. And all throughout the Dark Ages, you had Christians being tortured by these beings that, if they could, would torture you for the rest of eternity. Think about it. Some of these people that, I'm venture to say everybody that goes into hell, they're going to be tortured for eternity. Or at least until they get thrown in the lake of fire. And then they're going to experience the loneliness. Like these people experience in these hospitals. And their family members can't get to them. Think about the anxiety of the family members. They can't even get to them. So the loneliness of, think about only being able to see the Lord Jesus Christ one time in eternity. And that's at the white throne judgment. People that go into hell, if they die before the second coming, which is after the tribulation, they're going to see Jesus only one time. The people in the tribulation that get to the end, they're going to see Jesus twice, it seems like. Because he's going to destroy them there, and then throw them into the lake of fire at the white throne judgment. But the thought, now think of Jesus Christ, when he went to hell, the thought of being away from his Father and the face of his Father, the anxiety that you would get for never seeing Jesus Christ again, it's unbearable. It's unbearable. And if you experience it or imagine it, and you actually got to physically maybe see it, I'm not saying that you could, but if you even got close, something to think about, folks, about the people that are unsaved around us. Look at what Paul said. He said, if I could, I would be accursed for my brethren. You know what that means? That means Paul going into hell for his brethren. I wonder if he'd be saying that if he got there. I wonder, because he was saved at the time that he said that. If I could, I'd be a curse for my brethren's sake. But if he ever actually went there, do you think? I don't know, man. That's some hard stuff. That's Jesus Christ and in him saying that. You don't want to experience that without Jesus Christ, or you're never getting out. Some hard things to think about. Now, aren't you glad that in God's heart there is an ingrained attitude and character of grace whereby he deals with sinners? The whole world, for all have sinned. He deals with sinners in order to save them. It's by his grace. Again, God isn't saving the righteous. He's saving the unrighteous. He's not saving people that don't need him. He's saving people that need him, that understand their condition, that see their need for a Savior. People that think that they're good enough, Jesus can't save them. He can't save them till they see that they need him and their desire is to be with him. He gives you the desire of your heart, whether it's good or bad. He'll give you the desire. If you want a lie, he'll give you a lie. If you want the truth, he'll give you the truth. If you want to sin, guess what? He'll show you the way. He's not going to, well, I can't say that. He will give you the, he will show you I don't know. I don't know if I could say that. Let me take that back. If you want to sin, there'll be a way that pops up that gets you to sin. You want to lie, he sends the lying spirit and makes you believe it. That's what the Bible says. How much more if you won't desire the truth and you desire the right things and the pure things of God? How much more will he give you that if that's your desire, if that's the desire of your heart? And so, by the grace of God, you are who you are if you're saved. And this grace is a gift of God, Ephesians 2, 1 through 8. It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's offered to you. You don't want it, you don't have to have it. But remember this. If you're unsaved in here today and you don't accept that gift, that's your choice. And you'll have to answer for that choice the rest of the year for eternity if you close your eyes without the Lord Jesus Christ today. Ephesians 2, 1 through 8. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And so, grace is the theme and essence of the gospel that we are ambassadors of. We are ambassadors of this grace to bestow this grace to others. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians. We're almost done here. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't take pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, the Bible says. Look, if you would, in Acts 20, Acts 20:24. We're ambassadors of Christ. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul's an ambassador. We're ambassadors. And the gospel, the theme of the gospel is grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come here and help out, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would just, if there's any unsaved here today, that they would see that they're crazy. They're crazy not to believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they're just playing with fire should they ever close their eyes for eternity, Lord. They'll be wishing that they listened to your words. And we pray, Lord, that you would just bless the services today. For Christ's sake, amen.